Chapter 7 of Spiritual Exercise, and First of the Exercise of the Understanding, which must be preserved from ignorance and curiosity. Distrust of self and trust in God are very necessary in this conflict, yet they are not all that is required, for if we had only these weapons, we should lose the victory and fall headlong into many evils. Therefore, to these we should add a third weapon, which is spiritual exercise. Spiritual exercise relates principally to the understanding and to the will. With regard to the understanding, we must be on our guard against two faults, which very commonly impair its action. Ignorance is the first of these. It darkens the understanding and obstructs the entrance of truth, its proper object. Therefore, you must, by exercise of the understanding, render it clear and bright, so that you may be able to see and distinctly discern what you need for purifying your soul from its disorderly passions and adorning it with holy virtues. Light may be obtained in two ways. The first and most important means is prayer. The Holy Ghost should be entreated to pour this light into our hearts, which he will not fail to do if we are true with God and really seek nothing else but the fulfillment of his holy will and entirely submit our own judgment to that of our spiritual fathers. The second way is to gain the habit of viewing all things seriously and faithfully in order to see them as they really are according to the teaching of the Holy Spirit, whether they are good or evil, and not according to their outward appearance as judged by our senses or by the world. And if things are duly considered from this point of view, we shall clearly see that all which the world in its blindness and corruption in so many and in such various ways seeks after and is eager to gain is empty and delusive, and that the honors and pleasures of earth are but vanity and vexation of spirit, that injury and reproach inflicted by the world produce true glory, and that tribulation is a source of contentment. We shall learn that to pardon our enemies and to benefit them is greatness of mind, and forms in us a close resemblance to God. That to despise the world is a nobler course than to have the possession of it, that to obey for the love of God those far beneath us is more generous and great than to rule great princes, that a humble conception of ourselves is more precious than the highest intellectual attainments, and that the victory over and mortification of a slight rising of one of the passions is more glorious than the conquest of many cities, than the overthrow of powerful and armed forces, than the working of miracles and the raising of the dead. Chapter 8. Of the hindrances to a right discernment of things, and of the course which we should take in order to judge truly concerning them. Our failure in judging of the things above mentioned, and of others, must be traced to the precipitancy with which at the first blush we regard them either with love or hatred, and thus the understanding is blinded and hindered from taking a dispassionate view of them. Therefore, that we may not be in this way deceived, we must keep our will as much as possible in suspense and free from all inordinate affections. When any object, then, is presented to you, view it with your understanding, and give it mature consideration before you conceive a hatred for it and reject it, if it is contrary to your natural inclinations, or before you are inspired with a love for it, if it is agreeable to your taste. For when the understanding, unclouded by passion, acts freely and clearly, it is able to detect the truth and to penetrate into the evil which is hidden under a fair appearance, and into the good which is veiled by a semblance of evil. Whereas, if the will is first inclined to love or hate anything, the understanding afterwards cannot exercise a sound judgment upon it, because the affection, intervening between the object and the mind, prevents a just view of the object, and the understanding, giving back to the will this false representation, excites the will afresh to a love or hatred more vehement than before, in spite of every rule and law of reason. By this affection, the understanding becomes more and more darkened, and this darkness causes the object to seem more than ever desirable or hateful to the will. Therefore, unless the rule which has been laid down be observed, which is of the utmost importance, those two faculties, so noble and so excellent, the intellect and the will be made to act and react upon one another in a miserable circle, each in turn misleading the other, darkness producing thicker darkness, and error deeper error. Guard yourself with the greatest care against any irregular affection. Whatsoever the object which is presented to you may be, first examine it and test it by the light of the understanding, that you may discover its true nature, and especially by the light of grace and prayer, and with the guidance of your spiritual father. And I would advise you to observe this most carefully in any outward works which are holy and of good report, for in such we are in greater danger of illusion and indiscretion, because they appear so good in themselves. Some circumstance of time, place, or degree, or some fault as to obedience, may ruin the whole, as has been the case with many who have incurred great peril through the performance of actions in themselves praiseworthy and most holy. Chapter 9. Of another thing from which the understanding must be preserved in order to exercise a right judgment. The other danger against which the understanding must be on its guard is curiosity. Because when we suffer it to be filled with hurtful, idle, and frivolous thoughts, we destroy its power of apprehending that which closely relates to the true mortification of ourselves and to our perfection. On this account, you must become as one dead to all earthly things which do not concern you, though they may be harmless in themselves. Ever restrain your understanding as much as possible, and love to keep it low. Let the news and the fashions of the world, whatever they may be, great or small, be to you as though they were not, and should they come in your way, reject them and drive them from you. Even in your desire to know heavenly things, preserve a sober and humble spirit, caring only to know Christ crucified, his life, his death, and whatever he requires of you. Keep other things far from you, and in this way you will become well-pleasing to God, for he loves and counts as dear to him those who desire and seek from him only such things as are conducive to the love of his divine goodness and to the fulfillment of his will. Every other petition and inquiry springs from self-love, pride, and the deceit of the devil. If you follow these counsels, you will escape many snares. For when the wily serpent sees that the will of those who are aiming at a spiritual life is strong and resolute, he uses his endeavors to overthrow their understanding, that he may thus master both the one and the other. His plan is to instill into their minds, especially if they have an acute and subtle intellect and are likely to be puffed up with pride, lofty and curious ideas, so that being taken up with the pleasure of investigating such subjects, in which they falsely imagine that they are delighting in God, they may neglect to cleanse their hearts and to acquire self-knowledge and true mortification. Thus, falling into the snare of pride, they make an idol of their own intellect. Hence, gradually and imperceptibly, they come to the conviction that they have no need of the guidance or instruction of others, accustomed as they have been in all cases to lean upon the idol of their own judgment. Such a condition is a perilous one, and not easily cured, for pride of the understanding is far worse than pride of the will. For the pride of the will, when manifest to the understanding, may in time be easily remedied by obedience to rightful authority. But how or by whom shall he be cured who persists in regarding his own opinion as better than any other man's? And how shall he submit to the judgment of others when he regards it as inferior to his own? The understanding is the eye of the soul, to which we must trust for discovering and healing the wound of the proud will. If then the eye be weak or blind or swelled with the same pride, who shall be able to work a cure? And if the light becomes darkness, and that whereby we measure our actions be at fault, what will become of the rest? Then resist without loss of time this malignant form of pride before it penetrates into your inmost parts. Curb the quickness of your intellect. Readily yield to the opinion of others. Appear as a fool for the love of God, and you shall be wiser than Solomon.